Welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. Today we're going to cover an anti-diabetic agent called the sulfonylureas. And classic examples of medications in this class is glipizide, which is brand name Glucotrol, gliburide, which is Dibeta, glimepiride, which is Amaryl, and chlorpropamide, which is an older sulfonylurea that honestly I have not seen used in practice in a long, long time. There is one clinical quirk kind of with chlorpropamide, which I'll talk about in the adverse reactions segment of the podcast today. So how do these drugs work in managing diabetes? If you remember diabetes, we're generally going to have a ballpark goal A1C of 7 to 8, and these drugs bring that A1C down. They bring down blood sugars, and how they do that is they stimulate beta cells in the pancreas to produce and release insulin. And with that mechanism of action, it's really, really important to understand from a physiological process what insulin does. So insulin causes the sugar to come out of that bloodstream and therefore lowers blood sugar. But in doing that, through that process, whenever we either use insulin or utilize a drug that produces or stimulates the release of more insulin, that's got the potential to drop down blood sugars too far, because again, we're doing things that are kind of beyond physiological processes and kind of readapting that situation. So whenever you have a drug that's going to stimulate the release of insulin or kind of produce above and beyond insulin, there is always the potential for hypoglycemia. So a lot of the other agents, so metformin I've covered already on the podcast. Obviously, I'm going to cover more coming up here, but a lot of the diabetes medications don't necessarily have a high risk of hypoglycemia themselves, but when you add them on to a sulfonylurea and or insulin, you know that risk obviously goes significantly higher. So hypoglycemia is something you absolutely have to remember with sulfonylureas because they stimulate that insulin release. Now the second major side effect, and these are the two biggest you absolutely have to remember and definitely very highly testable if you're taking pharmacology throughout, you know, schooling, nursing school, pharmacy school, med school, whatever. You've got to remember that these drugs cause hypoglycemia and they cause weight gain. So in our patients with type 2 diabetes who are already overweight, you could understand how weight gain is not very advantageous. Patients will not like you for giving these drugs, maybe necessarily, because they can contribute to weight gain. However, they are certainly very effective at lowering blood sugars. So I did want to touch on quick hypoglycemia, making sure you remember some of the signs and symptoms. So sweating, shakiness, obviously extreme hunger and that type of thing can happen with hypoglycemia as well. In our geriatric patient population, particularly maybe ones with cognitive impairment or other things going on, some of these hypoglycemia type responses, reactions may be blunted. And kind of the classic example is beta blockers, which blunt a lot of the physiological responses to hypoglycemia, with the exception being sweating. So that's always a testable thing that I've seen on various exams kind of throughout my career. So definitely remember that. Remember signs and symptoms of hypoglycemia and recognize that, you know, in all patients, particularly maybe geriatric patients, you may have a patient that simply falls. You know, they don't say, they don't recognize that they're hungry, that they're shaky, that they feel any different. Maybe they just get a little dizzy and they're falling. So recognize that if they're on a sulfonylurea, we've got to look at those blood sugars. And if patients are having spells where they're not sure what's going on, we've got to check blood sugar at that time and rule that out as one of the issues there. One other adverse effect I did want to touch on is with that chlorpropamide. Again, in practice, I can't recall the last time I've seen chlorpropamide used. It's probably on a patient that had been on it for 30 years and, you know, nobody bothered to take it off. But anyway, this medication is on the Beers list, and it can cause drug-induced SIADH, which is syndrome of inappropriate antidiuretic hormone. And with that, low sodium is basically what can happen with this medication. Patients who are on diuretics, so something like furosemide, hydrochlorothiazide, are at higher risk for a significant hyponatremia if chlorpropamide is used with this. Again, seldom used, hardly ever see it, but just wanted you to be aware of it because I know it can come up on test questions occasionally there. Now, I did mention geriatrics today, and that's kind of my baby, so to speak. That's what I love. That's where I practice my work as a clinical pharmacist. Mentioning geriatrics, just yesterday I released a practice exam for board certification for geriatrics. It's a 175-question exam, and I am offering a huge discount on that exam, over 50% with that new release. You can find that meded101.com/blog, and it should be one of the recent blog posts there. So definitely go check that out. Great, I think, resource practice exam for, you know, anybody maybe seeking certification, board certification, good practice questions for NAPLEX, things like that. So certainly feel free to go check that out and get that discount code, meded101.com/blog. And it's the new release blog post. There's a discount code in there you can go check out. And that is good through Sunday, August 12th. If you happen to be listening to this later, sorry you missed out. But certainly there's tons of resources at meded101.com/store as well. So go check that out. I did want to finish up on sulfonylureas with a couple of topics. So first being drug interactions, you definitely need to remember agents that can lower blood sugar. If you've got a sulfonylurea on board, that increased risk of hypoglycemia can certainly happen. Now, that's got to be weighed with where the A1C is at. What are goals of therapy? You know, is this an end-stage dementia patient where we don't care as much about getting aggressive, about lowering that A1C, versus a you know, 51-year-old obese patient that was newly diagnosed? That's a patient we're probably going to be more aggressive with and that type of thing. So definitely remember, whenever you add on a new diabetes medication or using things together, and they're on a sulfonylurea, that can drop that blood sugar for sure. As far as drug interactions go, you know, there aren't a ton with the sulfonylureas, which is a good thing, certainly. But, you know, whenever you think about changes in diabetes through diet, through medications, through anything, it is important to just keep that in mind and recognize that we might keep a little bit closer tabs on monitoring blood sugars during that time period. So the other thing I kind of wanted to discuss a little bit was, you know, that target A1C and those goals. And, you know, in my patient population, working with a lot of patients with dementia, shorter life expectancy, things of that nature, you know, that A1C goal less than 8 may be appropriate for many, many of those patients, and particularly those on sulfonylureas where that hypoglycemia risk maybe a little bit higher versus a patient just on metformin. You know, we're probably not going to worry about hypoglycemia quite as much there. And again, you factor in that A1C goal with where the patient's at and how much preventative. Remember, the lower A1C, we really help prevent microvascular complications, kidney disease, eye trouble, neuropathy, and, you know, the aggressiveness of that goal weighed with life expectancy is a really important thing to think about when we're using these type of medications. So I think that wraps it up for today. Gives you some good pearls, some commonly tested things that may come up on your exam as you're studying pharmacology and things of that nature. So reallifepharmacology.com, I've got a free giveaway, 31-page PDF, where I highlight really highly testable pearls for the top 200 drugs. Again, 31 pages, absolutely free to you, reallifepharmacology.com. So I'm going to leave it at that for today. Thanks so much for listening. If you got time, leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Incredibly appreciative of all the people that have already done that. So take care, have a good day, and thanks for listening.